Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now. Right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We are now accepting applications for this year's Leaders Portfolio Awards, recognizing top businesses and business leaders for their commitment to leadership. Find an application at leadersportfolio.com. We're here in the Leaders Portfolio studio with the founder, chairman, and CEO of Camrys International, Mr. Carlos Rivera. Located in Bethesda, Maryland, Camrys International was ranked 619 on the Inc. 5000 in 2011, approximately 100 employees, and operates as an international development consulting firm providing services to the federal government. Welcome, Carlos, to the Leaders Portfolio Studio. Well,
thank you very much for having me.
You had a you went through a couple police blockades to get here, I hear. I mean, it was
yes, it was an exciting
it was an experience.
Yes,
we had an odd day today here at Leaders Portfolio. We had we had one CEO come 4 hours early for their interview, and then I think you hold the record of the latest, but due to rushing through police blockade in a faulty GPS.
And again, I have to apologize for being behind schedule.
That's
and I left at 3 p.m., I have you know that.
Oh, you did? Oh, yes. Good. Oh, good. All right. Well, just give us good leadership content and all will be forgiven.
Okay.
All right. Now, you founded this company yourself through a merger of other businesses.
So when I left the military, I had planned on setting up a company to work in the medical informatics area. And that's when I founded a company called Renaissance Information Systems back in 1997. And then as we discovered that we were doing more and more work on the international side, we seeked out a partner, found a company called Clap in Maine. And eventually we ended up merging the two companies together.
And basically what you do is your client is the federal government, the U.S. federal government.
Yeah, we do work for the federal government mostly. I mean, over 99% of what we do is that. We also do work for other organizations like the U.N., World Bank, and friendly countries that the U.S. operates in.
And you work in the area of global health.
Right. The majority of the work we do is global health, but we also do what's called D&G, democracy and governance work. We do some in the finance side. We're a management consulting firm. We help countries run their programs better.
And have you found over time other, I guess I would say, developing countries you work with a lot?
Right.
Are they better at running their programs?
Actually, so that's something that we're seeing a trend on, and that is it used to be that in the old days, you would take consultants and send them from the U.S. to go fix a problem somewhere. And what we found is that in many cases, the quality and the education, because of improvements globally, they have just as good experts either locally through the local universities, local groups, local NGOs, and or the region. And those people are actually better at it because they're from there. They understand the culture, they understand the region, and they understand all the intricacies that somebody coming from the outside doesn't necessarily get right away.
And that's been more so true over the last decade?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, the current effort that USAID has ongoing, which they call public-private partnerships, is focused on developing more of that, meaning encouraging U.S. firms as they do program implementation overseas to work through local partners and build capacity within those partners so they can continue doing the work long after we're gone.
Excellent. And some of the areas of expertise are HIV, AIDS, maternal child health. You even mentioned some finance in developing countries.
Right.
And so what are some of the major developments you're seeing in global health?
Well,
that's an hour answer.
Yeah, that's
an
hour answer.
But are you seeing, like, in general, some trends, you know, like we're getting better?
Well, I think you're seeing excellent results. I'm certainly not an expert in global health. I'm a healthcare administrator, not a public health professional. But from my limited understanding, I've seen an improvement on HIV outcomes because of programs like PEPFAR and the efforts of the U.S. government overseas, when we really have started to make a dent on this killer disease, and you're seeing better things like better, you know, better access to water, clean water, And a lot, another area that we're heavily involved in is the research and development in infectious diseases, where, for example, we're doing clinical trials on vaccines, both here in the U.S. and overseas. We're collecting mosquitoes in the Amazon forest. I mean, you're seeing all of those efforts are really paying off, not just for those countries, but actually for the U.S., because we're seeing those diseases arrive on our shores.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
if you can
stop it over there, it's a lot better than trying to do it here.
So what have you seen other countries do better than the U.S.?
I'm not sure I can
answer. Oh, you can answer that.
That question. Well, most of the areas that I'm involved in are in the infectious disease size and such. And we are seeing much better partnerships with this universities and NGOs overseas are really paving the way for better care for both their citizens. And again, it really does pay off for the U.S.
Excellent, excellent. An area you speak to are electronic medical records. It's an area that you cover. And I'm not an expert in this area, but the one thing that I've seen go on with this as we've adapted technology and done more electronic medical records, which is in general a good thing, the negative is that there's been an issue with privacy. And I've seen a case of this where, like, somebody was a child, you know, in a hospital, a child was not in the hospital, rape, but was raped at some point. The father of the patient, this child, worked for the same hospital. And so now all of a sudden that there was access to these medical records that if it was just paper, we wouldn't have happened before. And so that's kind of an interesting issue. But overall, we know it's a good thing, right? So
yeah. Well, the good thing is that you do want access. I come from the military. I spent 18 and a half years in the military, and it was really helpful being able to move from place to place with my family. And the physician that is taking care of us at the time has full access to our medical history, not just what happened when I'm there, but for the whole history of the family, you know, every family member. You do need, as people go from
provider to provider,
from provider to provider and to specialist, you have to somehow or another curve the repetition in tests.
Yes.
The costs of healthcare are just astronomical, as we all know. So certainly there's much, much better experts at this that are working this issue. But privacy is a big thing. I'll give you an example. As a company, we provide radiology interpretation services for the VA. We mm-hmm. help them serve those who served. And as part of that, we have access to medical records. We have gone through extensive reviews, controls. We have lots and lots of ways to control that information so it doesn't get across, you know, it doesn't get accessed by somebody that doesn't need access. And they only get access to the minimal information that they need in order to be able to provide it. So I know that there's a big effort at Health and Human Services that I'm aware of. I know there's one at DOD, and there's a DOD VA. As a matter of fact, they just awarded a contract last week for about $300 million dealing with privacy issues. So there's a lot of time and effort and dollars being put into this to try to mitigate those potential risks.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. And we're speaking with the founder, chairman, and CEO of Camris International, Mr. Carlos Rivera, here with us in the Leaders Portfolio studio. And so you said you've been trained military, you're an administrator, but you deal with global health issues.
Correct.
What of those things your passion? I mean, I'm sure all three, but I mean, are you inspired by global health issues? Is it that, or is it that you came from a military background and you know how to kind of implement,
I'll tell you what, it's two things that really are inspiring. One is I've only been involved in the public health sector through what we do for USAID. And I really have developed a serious appreciation for the work that they do. How important, I mean, I used to think, why are we investing dollars in somebody else's problems? And the truth of the matter is, in my experience, again, this is just my opinion, there is a huge payback on those dollars because I'll give you an example. Where you have clean water, you have people that are suddenly able to go to school. You have people that are able to go to work and they're not all sick because they drank terrible bacteria-filled water. In doing that, they have more economic power, and they develop businesses, and they develop, you know, people that go to become PhDs and MDs and engineers, and they improve not just the quality of that community, but also that country. And they become somebody we trade with. They become a consumer of our products and services, right? And then what you end up with is something, we do create economic development for our country by investing a few dollars in those things. So I truly have, you know, from somebody that had never been involved in anything on the international side, certainly over the last 7 years, I really developed an appreciation for what they do. And there's lots of other unsung heroes. I mean, people that I've worked with, CDC people, we do projects. And like I mentioned, in the Amazon, where we're fighting malaria and schistosomiasis and other diseases, Chagas disease. And it's really fascinating the work that these folks do.
Excellent. All right. Well, we're speaking with Carlos Rivera. And Carlos, we're going to continue talking about your leadership philosophy when we return from this break.
Great. Thank you.
Carl, Leaders Portfolio sponsors are Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk. They were a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're a company that values fostering leadership growth, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. And I also want to remind you to get your Leaders Portfolio Awards application in. If your business apply for the Leadership Business of the Year, and also apply for Business Leader of the Year. And if you know a business that really deserves that award, then we encourage you to nominate someone for that award. And we started this competition because we believed that, you know, there's kind of such a public discourse about a lot of the negatives that, businesses do. And there are some negatives and there are also positives. And so we want to look at, well, what are the positives that can be done? What are, you know, positive leadership decisions? And what happens when a company tries to be ethical? And so these are kind of a questionnaire for companies to apply for a Leaders Portfolio Awards. I am Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, and I will return to this studio with Carlos Rivera after this break.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com. leadersportfolio.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, in Leaders Portfolio. We're back here in the Leaders Portfolio studio with the founder, chairman, and CEO of Camrys International, Mr. Carlos Rivera. Located in Bethesda, Maryland, Camrys International was ranked 619 on the Inc. 5000 in 2011, approximately 100 employees, and operates as an international development consulting firm providing services to the federal government. Now, your background is you were in the Navy. We mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. And you received a bachelor's degree in healthcare administration from Southern Illinois University. And so tell me a little bit about your overall leadership philosophy.
Well, we as a team, we work very close together with our staff. Our goals are simple. One is our biggest asset as a company is always our staff. I mean, that's the face to the client. That's the face to the products. That's the whatever you're delivering, whether it's services or a particular product. Those are the people that make it happen. So we try to find the right people. I do subscribe. One of my favorite business books is Good to Great. You know, mm-hmm. what makes a company go from being good to great? And that's in what we found is that philosophy of finding the right person and putting them in the right seat of the bus is what allows them to then develop and foster and grow and do the things that they do best. And our role from a leader's perspective is to provide an environment, to provide the right mm-hmm. the right mix that makes that possible.
Now, do you think you're – I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think you're good to create company?
Oh, absolutely.
That was a quick answer.
But again, we try to focus on those tenets that are discussed in that book. We can't do them all. But we certainly, as a management team, that was mandatory reading within our management team. We continuously meet on that at least once a year. And we go over the different things that we're doing to make it possible for you know, our clients to get the best service and our staff to be happy to be where they are doing what they're doing.
What leadership traits are necessary for running a successful business, in your opinion?
I think it takes it truly takes all types. However, I believe you have to be able to take input from people. You have to be able to accept criticism when it's there. But you also have to be able to provide clear guidance to your staff. You know, whereas I've listened, I understand, and as a management team, we've come to a decision. In this, then you provide clear guidance. When you don't, you confuse people, and you can't achieve goals that way. The other thing you have to do is you have to be very strong in your metrics. You have to manage to goals, objectives, and metrics, performance metrics. We've gone from being a very small company to a larger one, and having that opportunity has taught us that we tried lots of different things. We tried people to self-regulate. That didn't work. We tried people letting them be the ones that assign themselves projects and tasks, and that didn't work. They, almost every time when we got feedback, it was they wanted a clear direction. And I think that's the number one thing that many entrepreneurs are very good at doing that. But as you get bigger, your ability to provide clear direction becomes more and more distant mm-hmm. from the staff. So you have to figure a way to be able to instill that all the way down, whether it's by supervisors, whether it's by intermediaries, or whether it's by doing it yourself.
Excellent. Now, what leadership traits do you think you haven't used in the past? Have you failed at, basically, I'm asking?
That have failed?
That you failed at.
Oh, well, I've been accused of not providing clear direction.
Okay, so that you learned from that.
So that is something that is it's not just self-reflecting, but it's also based on feedback. I get mm-hmm. feedback from people. I get full 360 feedback. You did this right, you did this wrong. And my clients give me feedback on a regular basis sometimes, and as well as my employees tell me, you know, what they think we're doing right or we're doing wrong. And we try to do that at least once a year.
Okay.
So giving clear direction is something I've been personally working on. We also work really hard at divesting ourselves. The problem with all entrepreneurs, as you're more probably more aware than I am, is that I took a course at Howard University and they talked about this, the three circles. The three circles typically overlap when you have a brand new startup. You have the entrepreneur, the staff, and the business, and all three are the same.
Lined up.
And everybody is waiting for the entrepreneur to say, okay, we're going to go left, we're going to go right, right? And then as you get bigger, hopefully those three rings separate to the point where they're independent of each other. So the company can operate without the person being there because they have enough process procedures, management controls, metrics, goals, objectives, and a clear vision. They're able to do that when you go on vacation. Otherwise, you can never go home.
You need to do that.
Yeah.
Now, Camrys has been around in some version for over 5 decades.
That's correct.
That's unusual for a company. And I don't normally get to ask, you know, there's not many leaders I can ask questions like this are. But so how, first of all, why do you think it's been able to be around for 5 decades? Because that's, you know, that's not standard.
Right. Correct. So let me tell you how we're able to say that. There was a company initially formed in 1955 called Clapham, Maine.
Which you mentioned earlier.
And we acquired Clapham, Maine, actually merged the two companies together. That's what allows us to say that we have over 1,800 tasks and projects complete over 55 years. So Clapham, Maine focused almost strictly on the international development side. As a matter of fact, when we first started talking with Clapham, Maine and figuring out how to work together, they were fantastic at doing international work. I said, well, we're going to introduce you to a new country. It's called the U.S. and then we started doing some more domestic things. So it was a good meld of a long history of international development. And what made him successful is most people that I meet on a regular basis, I meet lots and lots of business owners. I'm an advocate. I'm an advisor to at least a dozen companies. And what I see is everybody says they see big numbers associated with international projects. And they go, oh, I want to be an international company. And they don't realize how complicated that is and how many potential pitfalls there are.
Mm-hmm.
If you operate overseas, for example, a country may, not that it always happens, but they could go back and assess a new tax on your equivalent of the IRS that you paid 3 years before in your project and then assess it retroactive. So there is all these things that people don't realize are these pitfalls. You have to operate within some very strict guidelines. You have to be able to operate properly in the country, deal with tax issues that in many cases are foreign, not just foreign countries, but foreign to us.
Mm-hmm.
We have employees in Peru, and they get a 13th and a 14th month payment as part of their payroll. That's because that's standard local law.
Yeah.
They get a complete different holidays. There's more holidays. There's all these things. So what made Clapham, Maine successful and be able to stay is because they knew how to operate. They really knew how to operate. They did hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of projects overseas, and that allowed them to learn and to improve their systems, process, and procedures to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's mm-hmm. So the other secret to longevity is that we've diversified. We went from focusing strictly on the international to having more of a balance where we do have federal clients, we do have non-federal clients, and we have also commercial clients here in the United States. So creating a broader base allows us to survive the ups and downs of the market.
And that's a good point. You mentioned federal versus commercial, kind of, you know, broadening yourself. But are you concerned at all about, you know, cutbacks in federal spending as a result of the debt? I mean, do you kind of, as a business leader, go, wow, I might be worried here? Or do you think, oh, well, even if they cut, it's going to be 5% and it's not that big of a deal? Or you're not really thinking about that?
Well, certainly that's something that we all pay attention to. I mean, when you, especially in an election year when everybody's is yelling things in the air. But what we found is this, is the work that has to be done, that will continue to be done, If you're positioned correctly, those things do not, whether they shift from being
federally
funded to infrastructure projects here in the U.S. I mean, I would love to see more projects rebuilding schools, roads, things here in the United States. If you're positioned correctly, you're able to take your skills from one sector to the other, and even to the commercial side, not just federal.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, that answered it, of course. And I've got a business quote for you. This is from Forbes, from Thomas Fuller. Honest men fear neither the light or the dark. Your thoughts?
That's
you like that?
Yes, I like it. That's dead on. I believe that if you do the right things and you stay the course, right things will happen.
Good. Excellent. Well, Carlos, I want to thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Best of luck with your work with Cameras International.
Thank you.
Carlos Rivera here with us, founder, chairman, and CEO of Cameras International here in the Leaders Portfolio studio. I am Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, and I want to thank these supporters of leadership for helping us to provide great leadership content. Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. If you want the federal or business communities in D.C. area to associate your business with leadership, become a sponsor of Leaders Portfolio, especially in a day and age when, you know, everyone is so nervous about partnerships and clients and the lack of, you know, kind of ethics going on. And so people are really kind of scrutinizing, right? So brands that had normally had kind of unscathed brands are now being scrutinized. And some of it is earned and some of it's unearned. And so as a result, Leaders Portfolio offers sponsors the ability to kind of attach to a brand and say, you know what, we do value leadership. It is important, and to kind of shout that communication to their clients and business partners and potential employees as well. I am Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. Thank our senior producer, Dr. Ohlers, and the production team, Adrian, Miguel, Jennifer, Christine, and Yair. Enjoy speaking with you each week about leadership. This has been Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith asking you what's in your portfolio.